just like we said they would. They beat...
We're back, baby.
We beat the Ravens just like we predicted.
Greetings, loyal listeners. You are listening to The Blowhole on Finsider Radio. This fine, fine Thursday evening, you have myself, James Radio, joined by the ever-optimistic Robcast. I've never been more happy to be wrong than I think I was on Thursday night. Still kind of in disbelief a whole week later. I still can't really believe what we saw last week.
I kind of hate that it took us the way the schedule worked out, that it's a week since this game happened and we're now just talking about it.
Yeah, that's true. This is true. But my goodness.
Can we do a four-hour podcast where we just rewatch the game right now and just play-by-play it, just the whole game, commercials and all?
I'm not going to lie. I turned on NFL Network later on in the evening and the game was on, and I did watch. It was from the second quarter. I watched most of it.
Oh, yeah.
Watched most of it again. That's how much bad Dolphins football I've seen this year, that I was just going to watch it right over again.
You know what? There's something to be said about watching that game again, because while it was happening, I wasn't confident they were going to win I didn't think they were going to win until X returns that fumble. And then there's still, I was like,
didn't think they were going to win. Like, when the refs gave them that touchdown, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
The game was in the balance. Like, that touchdown drive that Tua led was huge. I don't think he got enough credit for that.
No, yeah, it was huge. It got us. It made it a 2-score, and it was a great. It was a great drive.
Yeah, yeah, it really was.
Oh man, so good.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, I'm trying to think. Like, I was the entire first half. From the first drive that the Ravens had, they moved down the field pretty easily.
They ran it down and got
the field goal, right? Yep. And then from then on, the defense just had them locked down, and I was just waiting for them to break through because our offense couldn't do anything. Brissett was out there.
The defense was out there too long. I'm like, they've been great, but you can't expect them to keep doing this. They're going to get tired. They're too long. They're out there too fast, too many three and outs.
They were getting a lot. The Dolphins defense was getting a lot of three and outs from the Ravens offense.
I know, but we had like the first drive. It was 4 or 5 plays. We got the one first down, then punted. Then I think it was like 2 or 3 3 and outs. It was not good, you know, to start.
Yeah. Yep. That is the truth. I think I can't really watch Jacoby Brissett play football anymore. Like, I hope we don't have to see him for the rest of the season.
Well, to be fair, you should never want to see your backup quarterback play. But yes, I agree. For a myriad of reasons, I need Tua to play out the string here.
Our offensive line is terrible.
Yes.
But it's like the combination of the amount of time that man holds on to the ball. And then like the terrible throws that he makes, like just like so many just bad throws. It's just bizarre. And then there was a sequence in the game where he made a great throw to it was either Waddle or Ford. I don't remember. And then he followed it up with another great throw to Shaheen. And then they just couldn't do anything. like after that, it was like, all right, maybe he's getting in a rhythm. And then just nope, absolutely not. We settle for a field goal. I think it was that drive at the end of the half.
Again, we're talking about a guy who couldn't beat out a washed up Philip Rivers. He's a backup. He's a guy you hope only plays a couple of quarters here and there or garbage time. He is what he is. And
I know, but then it does bring me to the point. Oh, so when he gets hurt and he hurts his knee, which looked odd. The whole thing looked odd to me, right? Like, it didn't seem like it was like, you know, we've seen a lot of gruesome knee injuries, but the way he was writhing around in pain, like it seemed like I was like, oh man, he must have, you know, torn a patella or something.
We've seen
guys do
that. Like, you don't know how, in the heat of the moment, like you're just like, oh, you know, you're freaking out. And then sometimes we've seen that before where
and then just the sequence of events though. And then, you know, he's going to come back out and Flores doesn't, you know, he's like, no,
he's like,
I've seen enough. Like, we'll play Tua with his bad finger. And then as soon as Tua got in there, you know, I mean, it's not like he was lighting it up, but he was just so much better. Like
there was one or two, there was one or two throws that were definitely off. Like I hadn't seen him miss a guy over the middle. Like it was only,
I think
like,
they were when like there was somebody in his face though. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
but, he had, but I mean, like, he's hurt and we knew he couldn't make all the throws, but then we quickly realized that a not make all the throws to a was still way better than Brissett. And since it wasn't a full game, it was worth the risk of the re-injury, which he almost did, right? He did bang that. He did bang it. And that's what you're hoping doesn't happen. But it was a roll of the dice. And honestly, I didn't want to see Brissett get hurt, but I was like, I wanted
Tua
to get in. I needed
Tua
to get in there. That offense was not happening. And the defense was playing to win. We needed somebody to give us something. So, oh God, that throw to Waddle.
Oh yeah. That was awesome. And even, I mean, I know Wilson was wide open, but the throw, I mean, it was the right read and he hit him in stride. Like, I mean, I've seen how many wheel routes with guys running wide open did you see Tannehill miss?
Yeah.
You know, like,
make him stop to get it. So it was a 15 yard gain instead of a 70 yard touchdown.
I've just seen a lot of NFL quarterbacks miss that throw, and I'm not trying to give him more credit than what he's due, but I mean, it's a good throw. It was the right read. I've just seen enough bad quarterback play to like be excited by standard, I guess,
the other
quarterback
side,
play in the NFL.
When was the last time we've had like on offense the defense give us a busted play like that? And we had two. I cannot remember a guy running wide open. And is it some of the pre-snap motion? I was listening to a podcast earlier today with someone saying that's Charlie Fry is the one responsible for all this pre-snap stuff. He's going to be an offensive genius, and God, I hope it's true because we need a single offensive coordinator.
I do really soon. I really hope so. And hopefully this is, a harbinger of things to come. But I mean, the Ravens are a good defensive football team. They're certainly, able to get pressure on the quarterback, and given our offensive line struggles, they definitely gave us fits. We couldn't run the ball at all. True. Not like we've ever been very good at running the ball, but like we were, I feel like even worse than we normally are at running the ball.
There's one thing I'll say about this offense. They can't run the ball, but at least they don't try. At least they throw at least they're smart enough to kind of be like, well, don't do it. Once in a while, yeah, keep them honest, but don't run them in there three times in a row and punt. Like, just don't. It's not going to work. Throw the ball.
Yeah, and I hate to see, he had seven targets, but, like, I still feel like they're kind of, like, wasting the second a little bit here.
He looked – it wasn't like he was open. It looked like he was covered. I think maybe that was their game plan, focus on Gesicki.
Yeah, and it is maddening too. Like, I mean, it's almost every play. Like, I feel like when he's covered and they throw the ball to him, I feel like the guys are always there early. They're like always on his back or always like have an arm wrapped around him or something. And it just, I don't think he's ever gotten a call. I don't think I've ever seen pass interference called on him. And like, I feel like it's
because he always asks for it. I know the refs don't like that. They're like, stop asking. I'll give it to you.
He didn't do any of that. This
I
game,
know,
I
but
he,
but like that's my poster of him is throwing his arm up
right
for the flag.
Yeah.
And he almost made another ridiculous catch. It was just a little too high. Like that was like the first throw, I think the first or second throw to him.
Yeah, I remember that. I really hope they're able to fully utilize him, and I hope they're able to sign him and bring him back. And he's such a dynamic weapon, and right now that we're so short on them,
we have
I would like to see them using them more. But it was good to see. I mean, we joked about it, right? Like Albert Wilson, the guy that he showed up.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe the Ravens also didn't think he was worth a damn and just didn't cover him. I don't know. I don't care. He played.
He made that nice play early too. Yeah. That on the opening drive, where he had the cut and it looked like the old Albert Wilson. I mean, he's clearly lost a step. I don't know how he didn't score on that play. on the one where he was wide open. How do you not the angle that safety's coming at? Like, how do you not just crisscross behind him? Like that's like every NFL wide receiver.
All right.
That's that wide open, like knows that move. Like I was like, how did he?
It
not
was like
do
his
that?
Third catch of the year. All right, and this third catch in 2 years. Let him get his feet wet.
I guess. I mean, whatever. Beggars can't be choosers. I know, but it was it's just odd. I couldn't believe he didn't score. But either way, just a great game to watch. Just as a Dolphins fan, as a frustrated Dolphins fan, it was a very
Holland
welcome. Holland, yeah, the defense.
Howard, Agba, Phillips. I mean, these guys were getting it. Van Ginkel, they were like, everybody had a great game back there. It was nice. Nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, they were completely locked down. And they made no adjustments. We were talking about this off air, I think. They did nothing to counteract what the Dolphins were doing. I think it was 77% of the plays were sending some form of blitz, and most of them were very aggressive all out blitzes.
Yeah.
And I remember, I'm sure you do. The first game of the Flores era was Lamar Jackson coming to Hard Rock Stadium, and they blitzed him like crazy and he burned us. Like, I mean, granted that team was terrible. Didn't have the talent that this defense has. But yeah, he couldn't make the throws. The guys were not open. They did have a couple drops, but they made absolutely no adjustments, and they couldn't run the ball either. And they run the ball very, very well. Obviously they're the leading, but that's, we completely took that away from them and, tried to make him beat us with his arm and beat the blitz and he couldn't do it. And I love Lamar Jackson. I think he's a great quarterback, and we just completely shut them down. And every level, it was every level. It was, you know, the Agbas and the Wilkins from the defensive line, and then you had the Van Ginkels and the Phillipses from the from the linebackers, and then you had Holland and Jones getting there from the safety spot. So just, it was so nice to watch, and just the defense the last 2 weeks looks like the defense we remembered from last year.
And if they were, I have to say it every week. And if this defense showed up halfway like this in those three point
just
losses.
One of those games, like how much better is 4-6 than 3-7?
True. And the fact that we could be 6-4, we could be tied for the lead in the division with those two. I mean, we were playing terrible, we didn't deserve to win, but we still could have won those games. Whatever.
I'm ecstatic if we had just gotten one of them. One honestly of them. Like, I mean, they are in position, right? So, and it's a good segue into previewing this week.
Well, before we get there, I did want to talk about talk about the defense a little more.
Sure.
It was like that. It was like on that first drive, on that third down where he missed Sammy Watkins.
Watkins just kind of stopped running because I think he thought he was going to run into the wall.
I just rewatched that. First of all, it was also one of those zero blitzes. Holland made him rush that throw, and he gets it right. It's at the end of the end zone. It would have been hard to stay in bounds, but that changes the game. They score, they get the touchdown there. They're going to have the confidence. I feel like, it's a whole different game if they get a touchdown there. So I thought that was huge. And again, Holland
absolutely
on the blitz,
yeah,
it was awesome. Just one of those plays, like, you don't think about it because it happened so early, but I feel like it set the tone and really, really, helped the team, do what it do. And then beat the terrible Ravens that we hate so much.
I know.
This was an L.
And that's another thing, too, that it was the Ravens, right? Like, I mean, that's
was a penciled L week preseason when I thought this was a 12-win team. This was one of the five losses, right? This was a penciled L. Like, that's how huge this is.
And it's not like they're, I mean, I know they're down a little bit on their, in terms of like they are missing their offensive line. They're missing two tackles. They're missing some running backs, but they've been beating people. Like, they're a very good team, and they're one of the best teams in the AFC. I thought maybe, right up there with Tennessee. And it honestly, if Tua starts that game and you don't, the refs don't give them a touchdown in the middle, like, what's the final score of that game? Like,
63-0.
I mean, it just, I can't express enough how surprised and how happy, I was after Thursday night.
So good.
All right. So looking forward, moving forward. So we're traveling to New York. The rest of the schedule, the remaining schedule for this season is a lot easier than it was the first half. now they're on a hot streak. It seems like they figured some things out on defense, and hopefully the offense can start coming together as well. I'm not going to say I feel like they're going to win out, but
they're going to be favored in their next four games, including this Sunday.
Correct.
So that's a nice way of saying they should win them, right? They'll be favored, even whether on the road or at home. For these
that gets us back to 500.
Yeah, if we win them, we're back to 500, which is insane, considering we had a stretch where we lost seven straight.
And I was ready to burn Hard Rock to the ground and just start from ashes.
You were so grumpy.
Yeah, it was frustrating. I mean, I'm still, again, just one of those games. Just imagine how different this would be. But now, I mean, they know what they have in front of them. And they're not out of it. Like, with a performance like that, like, can really turn the season around. And I truly hope it does. So that leads us to the Jets, who are a literal dumpster fire. Just all around.
It seems like they have no idea. Two quality wins, which I don't understand at all. They beat two good teams, and they're terrible.
It's true. Both of those wins were at home as well. And that's where, you know, the game will be at.
But the Jags are terrible, and they beat two good teams. Wink. See also, what I did there?
I would like to think of us as a good team, but we're not quite there yet. So we're going up to New York. Their defense has been statistically terrible. Even in the games they've won, they gave up massive amounts of points and yards.
A great front seven, and we have a terrible offensive line. It scares me a little bit, but
it does.
They're terrible, so I don't know what to think. There's part of me that's like, we're gonna go up and score 50, and then the other part be like, oh, this is so Dolphins. Like, if we can't run, and all of a sudden they're getting to Tua, but even so, Tua knows how to play with no time. And I think Waddle and Gesicki are just going to have their way out there. I don't know.
I hope so. I mean, I hope that's what we see. I think that is what we should see. Now, interesting little tie-in. So the head coach of the Jets is Robert Saleh, and he was the defensive coordinator for the 49ers last year. And I feel like they're running a very similar defensive scheme to what the 49ers have been running for the couple seasons that he was out there as a defensive coordinator. The Dolphins, if we remember, went out to San Francisco last year and lit up his defense, which was very, very good. I know we have a different system, different coordinator, different quarterback. But, I mean, I think there might be some things that the team and some of the coaches are the same, should understand how to attack and exploit this defense, especially if it's, you know, on tape as being terrible and they should know where the weak spots are. I wouldn't be surprised if we do have a nice offensive showing on Sunday.
I would be surprised if we don't. I know I talked about I'm a little afraid because our offensive line is terrible, but I'd be surprised if we don't, you know, get into the mid-20s, low 30s in points. We've buried the lead. The Jets are so afraid of our blitzing scheme that they decided to start the worst of their three terrible quarterbacks this Sunday. So statue Joe Flacco will be out there, because he's possibly old enough to recognize some of our blitzing schemes. I'm not afraid of any of them, but this might
again,
be the
it
most
is Joe
exciting.
Flacco has traditionally destroyed this team.
With good behind good teams. That wasn't him. That was good Ravens team destroying us. Honestly, this is just the dessert to the Ravens destruction meal we ate last week. You know what?
I will
crush a Joe Flacco. I'll take
it. I hope so. I really hope that is the case. I would like to see Zach Wilson at some point. Hopefully he plays in the game in Miami.
Yeah.
Later
we'll get
season.
We'll get a little Zach in there.
But yeah, I mean, on offense, I mean, they have a decent offensive line. Their running backs are surprisingly decent. Like, they put up decent numbers
on
offense.
Numbers,
when Wilson's not the quarterback,
their
offense has been
their
passable.
Numbers are all dump offs, right? Because their quarterbacks, even when Mike White had big games, he was throwing at all the running backs. Usually they're behind.
And Crowder as well, the wide receiver.
Crowder's a decent wide receiver. Actually, Davis is probably coming back, and he's a good wide receiver. And the rookie's a good, probably going to be good, Elijah Moore. I mean, they're not without talent. They just don't have enough of it.
Yeah, and they've been poorly coached. I mean, this is a game, I mean, truly, we should go up there and win. And I feel like they've turned the corner, and I want to believe they have. I'm going to say the Dolphins go up there. They have a solid offensive performance. We see the defense step up again. 28-10, Miami Dolphins. Nice. Is my prediction.
Nice. The pessimist coming through. So I got to – actually, you know what? I thought I was going to beat you, but I'm not. I just threw an extra field goal on both sides. I didn't realize that. I said 31-13. It's actually the same score with an extra boot for each team.
Yeah, it's the same point differential, an 18-point victory for the Miami Dolphins is what we're predicting.
Maybe I should switch it to 31-9.
I don't know. Are you happy with 31-13 or you want to go to 31-9?
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
All right. All right. Well, with that, we are at time for the first segment. When we come back, we'll recap Pick'em from last week and go through games around the NFL. I do have a couple more Dolphins notes I want to touch on as well before we get to that. So please stay tuned. And we're back. So I did want to mention just a couple other things about the Dolphins leading up into this week, just injury news and such. Will Fuller will not be playing once again. No big surprise there. Devontae Parker is still on the IR. He has to be on for 3 weeks. So I'm hoping he will come back for the Panthers game, which is the following week. And I don't think there's any other major injury news. Tua will be the starter. I mean, that shouldn't be shocking to anyone.
He was a full participant today, which is nice to see.
Wilkins was limited.
Wilkins was limited, but that's a good sign because we actually signed a defensive lineman, which is a little scary. That usually, that happens, meaning they're planning on somebody not playing. But he was limited, and that's a good sign.
Yeah, and it looks like Baker's full participant. Van Ginkle was limited. Van Ginkle really has turned the corner the last couple of weeks as well, because he was struggling mightily at the beginning of the season and has turned in a couple of nice performances. And then the last thing I wanted to touch on is I know I've been very, very harsh of the Dolphins' use of their draft picks and all the draft capital they had. This year's class, the top picks actually look like they're, they might be pretty solid aside from now Eichenberg is looking kind of, I believe statistically the worst tackle in the NFL, but Waddle is good and could potentially be, a Pro Bowl player in the future. Javon Holland
is a home run.
Looks like, he looks great on defense, and Phillips is really starting to figure it out. You can see the speed, the reaction time, and just the skill that he has. I don't know if he's going to have monster sack numbers this year, but he's at 2.5. We're 10 games into the season. I could see him going on a little bit of a run here and getting some more sacks through the end of the
but
year.
But that speed
wouldn't surprise me at all.
That speed, like playing a team like the Ravens, it really came up where he could actually rush and stop that. There was that one play where it was one of those zero blitzes again. And Lamar's back there, and he goes to, he's going to throw one of those bubble screens, and everybody's, kind of stops and gets their arms up, and so Lamar tucks it, and he's like, okay, I'll run. But those guys, they didn't leave their feet, and they just swarmed him. Normally, that's one of those, oh, we almost had him. They get 30 yards. That's the Dolphins special, where, we're so close to a great play, but they made a better play. But no,
right. That did not happen at all.
And the end-to-end, when they're running those end-arounds or whatever, and just that speed, it's nice to have from an end like that.
Yep. And we have we're at 10 games. We have 7 more games remaining. To see what this team is made of. So I'm actually looking forward to it. It should actually be a watchable end of the season. Fingers crossed that they don't revert back to
the end of the season. The team
they were at the beginning of the season.
Because if they do the run, it just so happens the winnable games are now. So if they win them and end up at 7-7, now you got 3 games against teams that are at least as good as you, and we will not be favored in any of them unless the Saints fall apart with Trevor Siemian. But we will not be favored more than likely against the Titans and the Pats. So that'll be interesting.
I'm curious to see the Patriots, how their second half of the season plays out for them. I know it's going to be either 6-4, undeniably. They've been impressive of late. but they don't, I mean, they don't have any quality wins to, I mean, beating up on the Browns is great. Like, I mean, the Browns are, you know, that's impressive, but it's funny.
Their losses against the Bucks and Dallas were more impressive than their wins, because they almost beat teams that are good. Like, correct, they were in them. But it's the defense. They have a great defense. They have a great offensive line and a great running game.
And Jones has played well. I'll give him credit where credit's
due, because he's not asked to do a lot, you know. He hasn't been smacked in the nose yet. I'd like to see what happens when they're down, you know, down 14 to start the second half. Then I want to see what he can do.
Yeah.
Then honestly, I don't. We'll, I want to see him fail at that. I should be more specific.
Hopefully, that'll be how the final game of the season plays out. All right, let's move into pick'em. We'll go around the rest of the league.
You just reminded
me about another team.
Even if we don't,
and they're actually kicking off. Let's wait. Let's rehash what happened last week, Rob. Can you tell everybody?
Yes, but before I revel in my, I'm not even embarrassed by it anymore. I wear it like a suit. If we're not in the hunt, if we could knock the Pats out of the playoffs or out of a good seed, like beating them, if we're 7-7 and I end up 8-9 by beating the Pats in the last week, I'm okay. I think that I might be able to live with that. All right. So last week I didn't have the stones to pick the games that I kind of wanted to, like Detroit. And there was another one too, where they ended up winning. So you win 2-1 again, as you tend to do. Oh, I forgot to actually give you your points here. You picked the Seahawks, which was a terrible idea.
It turns out.
But you took the Chiefs, which was a much better idea than the Raiders. And then again, I kind of call foul on this. You had the Jags plus 10.5. They had no business covering that. Taylor was running his face off. They were up 14 instantly, and I don't know how they didn't just cruise to a 20-point win. How they came back, that just annoyed me. Oh, that annoyed me. Because I feel like I was right.
I said they were going to lose. I just said the point spread was too high.
But it wasn't. I feel like I was right.
You weren't.
You know what? I'm like the Dolphins. I'm much better than my record.
Speaking of, why don't you tell everybody what your record is? What is the season? What is the season record now for pickup?
Oh, well, I don't know how many games we've played, but you have 20 wins, and I have 7. And... you have won all weeks but one.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's keep it going.
Oh, and week 5, because we didn't have a cast because I was on vacation.
That's right. Yeah. So it is, we are recording on Thursday. I believe the Thursday night game has just kicked off.
Not yet.
The Patriots are favored by 7 in Atlanta. I think we both think the Patriots are going to cover this rather easily.
Yeah. This is their kind of game, right? They can run on them. They have one guy to take out. I mean, I don't know if Cordarrelle's going to play.
He's not playing.
He's good. You know, they could focus on Pitts, and there's nobody else to even hurt you at all. Like,
yeah, it's going to be a long night for the Falcons. The Indianapolis Colts plus 7.
I will say Thursday is a night for home dogs to beat up on evil franchises. So let's just keep that.
Every night's a good night for that. Yeah. I hope that happens. Indianapolis Colts plus 7 at the Buffalo Bills. I think the Bills, it seems a little high given that the Colts, I think, are a pretty good team, but I think the Bills will handle them.
I think you're right, but I'm going to take the Colts. The Bills are weirdly flawed because they can't run. Like, they know it and they don't care, but
right.
But they're not going to win until they can. I don't think they're really going to win a super challenge for a Super Bowl until they could run a little bit.
Unless Colts gave them a hard time in the playoffs last year.
Maybe Breed is the answer, because he came out of nowhere to score 2 touchdowns last week. I'm like, hey, he lives. But yeah,
he deserved a chance, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, it'll be interesting. But yeah, I'll take the points. I think they can make it.
Take the Colts on the road. I mean, they were beating them in the playoffs last year. It was a close game. And I don't think this Colts team is quite as good as that one, but we'll see. All right. The Baltimore Ravens -5 at the Chicago Bears. I think this is a big bounce back game for the Ravens. The Bears are bad.
Well, the Ravens are great. I mean, we're better. So
clearly. Yeah.
Yeah. The Raiders have trouble.
So your favorite team, the Detroit Lions, getting 11 at Cleveland, which I thought was insanely high, but you did inform me that Goff is not playing. And while I don't think Goff is great,
I don't think he's better than
whoever is behind him.
I don't know if he's definitely out, but I think he's doubtful.
I was thinking about taking this game because I thought that line was just way too high. I don't think the Browns are that good, as evidenced to the game they played last week. And the Lions played the Steelers pretty tough, even though the Steelers aren't that good and didn't have Ben Roethlisberger. But I still feel like Goff's not playing.
They don't have Roethlisberger. That's not this game. This is the kind of game, though. The Browns are the kind of team that will beat up on bad teams and not be able to hold up to good teams. That's just the kind of team they are. I think they cruise, they can run the ball, and Detroit can't stop the run. So I think it's all right there. I'm fine with giving the 11.
Were you sad that they didn't get the win last week? They got the tie.
I love ties because it makes people angry.
It does. That is the truth. All right, Houston Texans plus 10.
There's always a young player, and this year it was Najee Harris, who was like, I didn't know there were ties. I thought we were going to have another quarter. I'm like, there are ties, people. Once you play Madden,
it's so amazing to me.
How do you not know?
So amazing to me. Houston Texans plus 10 at the Tennessee Titans. I don't feel like that's enough points. The Texans are terrible, and the Titans are good.
I don't know. The Texans are a very good team, too. I mean, we're better. Any team that we beat was probably a good team. But, yeah, Titans.
Packers -1.5 at Minnesota. That seems low to me. I like the Packers.
So, divisional, always weird. The Vikings always keep it close. But, yeah, this is Green Bay. They've been doing this for like 3 or 4 years where you're like, they're good, but they're not great. And they win all these games and you look and you're like, how are they 10-2? Like, this is just what they do. They win these stupid games.
I agree. I think they're going to win this game pretty handily, honestly. Next game, New Orleans Saints +2 at the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm surprised that they're underdogs here. I don't feel like the Eagles are that good.
Did you just fall down the steps?
I like the Saints.
I'm sorry, me and the listeners, we didn't hear a lot of that. You sounded like you were falling down the steps while you said that.
No, I'm not falling down the stairs. I'm okay.
Okay. So Saints Eagles, the two teams that you never know what they're so weird. I hate it. Don't bet it. Or you have a gambling problem. Trevor Siemian, but their defense. Yeah, Saints. I can't even. This is gross.
I think they should keep them. I think their defense will keep Philadelphia locked down, I would imagine. All right. The Washington football team +3 at the Carolina Panthers. I guess I like the Panthers here. These two teams are very strange.
I just came up with that. You like that? Camphers?
Oh, the Camphers? No, I don't really like that, actually.
He's back.
God, that was so stupid. They showed it so many times, too. I was like, I just didn't understand. But whatever. I guess it was kind of surprising, given that Cardinals team did well the week before against the 49ers, but it was still Colt McCoy and no DeAndre Hopkins.
The weird fact that's got buried because Sam Darnold is terrible and PJ Walker is not really an NFL quarterback is the Panthers are a good team. They have a decent defense, and with McCaffrey now back and DJ Moore, and like, they're a good team. It's weird. Like, yeah, they got off to a hot start playing garbage teams, but then with the injuries and Darnold being Darnold, they're not as bad as they appeared. I'm all for them giving 3 to Washington because they're have all kinds of troubles. Chase Young is now out for the year. Fitz is not coming back at all, it looks like. You know, there was a chance of him coming back, and there's no reason to have him come back. And they're all their McLaurin looks backed up, banged up.
I mean, they handed it to the Bucs last week.
I know, and now they're destined to fall back down to earth.
I guess. All right.
They want to take them.
49ers. Favored by 6.5 going into Jacksonville. I said it last week. I thought they were gonna beat the Rams, and they beat them. I did not think it was gonna be that handled, but you know, I didn't think it was gonna be that easy, but they certainly did. They match up well with that Rams team for whatever reason. The Jaguars are not very good. I think the 49ers win and cover.
So I put a lot of thought into this one. I kind of like the Jags with this getting the 6.5, but I'm terrible at this game, and I don't want to give the 49ers any kind of. We need them to lose. We have their first round pick, so I can't give them the extra mojo of me
of picking
against
them
here.
Yeah.
But the not having the stones to pick them. That's going to make it even. That's going to give the Jags that extra push. So I don't have the stones to pick the Jags.
To take the Jags.
So I think we're going to cover.
All right. I hope you're right. Honestly, it is
might
better
even
for us
win,
to see 49ers.
But they're going to cover.
Okay. Cincinnati. -1 at Vegas. I'm surprised at how low this line is. I think the Bengals are going to beat them pretty easily. I think the Raiders are crashing.
Honestly, this
crashing fast and hard.
Beginning of the year, I would have happily have picked this game and probably been wrong because I'm one of those that don't think the Bengals are as good as others. And I think I for a long time thought the Raiders were better than other people did. There's too much bad mojo on them now. You know, the Gruden thing looked like it was actually going to help them having no Gruden to deal with. But they've got too much to deal with. So yeah, I'm with you, Bengals. That was a lot of words to say. I agree.
My dog agrees as well.
Your dog loves football.
He's definitely a big Bengals fan. All right.
Dog
Dallas Cowboys
like
+2.5 at the Kansas City Chiefs. So I do think the Chiefs have kind of figured things out. I feel like, you know, that wasn't a fluke on Sunday night. It looked like the Raiders were playing a lot of cover two, and Mahomes started taking what they were giving him, which was the first time, because I've actually watched a lot of Chiefs games this year because they've been on TV a lot. And
I thought that was the whole laughable thing, is that the Raiders weren't doing that thing that has been stymieing Mahomes all season.
No, they were. I mean, they don't traditionally play a lot of cover two, but they were playing more cover two shell than they traditionally do.
It did look like he was just happy to take the not having to go for the home run.
Yeah,
and that's.
I mean, Kelsey had a monster game underneath.
Yeah,
yeah. So that, I mean, that's what I saw.
Well, I'm taking Dallas then.
I think Dallas is going to win, though. I truly believe they're a better defensive team than Vegas. And I just think that they're going to win. I think their offense is going to give Kansas City's defense a much harder time than the Raiders were able to. And
where
I think they're
going
to go in there and get the win.
I kind of like the Chiefs now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can't remember the last game.
You want to change one of you want to change this with something else?
If I do, it'll be the next one we pick. Let's keep it on the burner because I just all of a sudden. I'm just like, because I said I'm going to go against the Chiefs until they prove me wrong, and they've proved me wrong. So now I should be going with them. So let's see. Let's keep going.
Okay. Arizona Cardinals -2 at Seattle. I was burned by the Seahawks last week as they did absolutely nothing on offense. I look at them to bounce back. I think Russell now with a game under his belt. I think he's got some of that rust off. And I think the Packers defense is actually, I think, a little underrated. But I think the Seahawks at home, I think they get this win versus the Cardinals. I think they're going to get it.
Cardinals.
All right. Cardinals -2. It's basically a pick 'em.
Not a pick 'em.
Okay.
It's 2 points.
I know, but basically. I mean,
well, no, because, I mean, if you want to make it a pick 'em, I'm glad. But I'm giving you 2 points.
Okay, I'll take the 2 points.
There you go. Well, I thought it was a pick. All right.
Pittsburgh Steelers +5.5 at the Los Angeles Chargers. I don't really care about this game at all. I think the Chargers win, I guess.
I guess if this was at least Ben of last year, and I don't even know if he's playing at all, then I would totally be on the Steelers. But Watt's banged up. Minka's banged up. I don't think he's playing. And actually, I don't even know if he's banged up or COVID at this point. But I know I think Minka's out. Watt's banged up. Ben is terrible. And Rudolph is not better. So, yeah, I can't take the Steelers.
All right. So we have two games going into Monday night. You said you're still on the fence with the Chiefs. I think this is going to be another one where we might disagree. The New York Giants going into Ray J on Monday Night Football. Buccaneers team has lost two games in a row. They're at home. They're favored by 11.
This is the
Giants are not good, but the Giants have been playing better of late.
It's a lot of points, the 11. I kind of just for fun was going to take the Giants, but you know what feels a lot better than taking the Giants?
Taking the Chiefs?
That's the thing.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, I like the Bucs to cover here. Sounds like you're going to make your final pick as the Chiefs.
What's the line?
It's 2.5.
Is it?
Dallas is an underdog.
Okay.
So if it was on a neutral field, they'd be favored by 0.5 points.
Gotcha. Dallas is an underdog. Right. I should make that a plus instead of a minus.
So that is, that's it for Pick'em this week. Looks like, probably be another victorious week for, Mr. Radio.
I doubt it.
But we're going to take our second break. And when we come back, it'll be the my favorite part of the show. I think it's Rob's favorite part of the show. I'm not sure anymore. Fantasy Camp. So please stay tuned. And we are back. I guess we might as well hit him with the drop, Rob. How'd we do, Rob? It didn't seem like there were a lot of fantasy points to be had.
Well,
why don't you recap what happened on Thursday night?
Neither of us had X, and neither of us had Albert Wilson. So it was
a good time.
This was, we combined for two of the three lowest scoring scores in fantasy camp were this week. Week one, you had 10 points. And that was the, and then this week you had 11 and I had 9.5. Oh no, I'm sorry. I pulled a 7.5 once. So normally that's what one person scores, not what five people score. It was gross. You started off with, actually I had the first pick and I had Waddle, had a bad game for him. It was only 4 catches in a PPR. He's usually good for 7 or 8. 4 catches for 61, 8 points, was actually the high scorer of the week. That's how gross it is, because he had 8 and my team had 9.5. That's just how you know it goes. You had Gesicki, who got 0 points for his 7 targets because he goosed.
Terrible.
You had Gaskin, who was kind of terrible. He had 31 rushing yards, 14 receiving, 1 catch. You had Preston Williams, who had no catches. And honestly, the only reason you won is because the second highest scorer of the week was Adam Shaheen with 3 catches for 34 yards. And he's the reason why you won by 1.5. Also, Holland helps because actually your defense outscored my defense by 1.5, which was the difference in the game. Holland had the sack and the 4 tackles, which was very nice. Outside of Waddle, Ahmed was the only guy who scored for me, and he scored 1 point on his catch. He didn't have enough rushing or receiving to actually.
And just last week, you were complaining about it being a full point PPR.
Well, yeah, because Shaheen, that would have. You had 5 points.
Okay.
All right. It was. You're right. I got an extra point. but I had Hollins and Kirk Merritt did nothing. And Agba, although he was everywhere, he only had 2 tackles and he didn't have any sacks. So I lost 9.5 to 11. God, that was disgusting. But On the plus side, this is the week where you pick first, which means I get two of the three fantasy viable players, and I am going to crush you this week by so much.
So it's been kind of working out for me. I've won four of the last, actually, I've won six of the last seven games. Or one, two,
five,
sorry.
Five of the last six.
Five. No, that's five of the last seven. But nope.
Well, six.
I'm
we
having
don't,
a really
we don't
hard
count.
Time counting.
This
five
week doesn't count.
Five of the last six.
Yeah.
That's that week five where we didn't play. So I've won five of the last six. I've primarily been making Gesicki my first pick. I also really enjoy watching you try to type his name in every single time.
It
changes every week. So.
It's right here. It's right next to each other. It's different.
Yeah, I will take Mike Gesicki.
And actually, I'm changing the names of our teams because you are the Gesickers. And I am the Waddlers because Waddle's been my first pick every week.
That's true.
So
I mean, I like them both.
Yeah,
they're both great players.
So if you get Gesicki, then I get Waddle and Gaskin because those are three that you would actually be playing in fantasy this week in the real world. So in fantasy camp, they're monster stars. And they're, now, yeah. Bottom of barrel. Meet James.
Oh.
James, meet bottom of barrel. Will you please scrape it for me with the players that are left?
Yeah, there's really nothing left.
Nothing left.
I'm gonna pick
we
our...
only picked three of the 10 players.
yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'm going to go with, I believe, I mean, he showed up last week. I'll go, give me Albert Wilson.
Yeah, what are the odds he does that 2 weeks in a row?
Not likely, but give me Albert Wilson.
You got him.
Oh, I also get one more. So here's my my swing for the fences one that I just keep hoping he shows up. I mean, he played on Thursday, and they actually took a couple shots to him. Preston Williams, he likes to light up the Jets when he plays, and he is playing. So let's keep those fingers crossed.
You could have him. All right, well, I'm going back to my man. I think he's been on my team 3 weeks in a row. No, maybe you had him last week. But I'm going Mac Hollins. I feel like he's more of the Parker replacement that we thought Preston Williams would be. He wasn't last week since he didn't catch anything. But we'll give him a shot. And then just because he burned me last week, I'm going to make sure he doesn't do it again by being on your team and making three monstrous catches, which was second on the team for of people we played. I will take Shaheen.
Okay. I will go ahead and, oh man, I'm not really thrilled about this one, but I feel like I should have a running back. So
they're all flexes. Yeah. I mean, if there's a game to play him, right, that we should be able to run, but he's been so, like, he's been fine, but he doesn't get enough carries. He's, yeah, you could have him, is what I'm saying. I'm glad,
I mean,
glad
it
to have
really
him
matter. Oh, and then I get to pick my defensive player.
You can.
So it's basically a coin toss at this point between Holland and X. And I mean, the pass rushers are good too. I guess I'm going to go with, I'll take Holland. I like the kid. Give me the kid.
Yeah, I'm going for, I mean, X was in our lineup all the time last year. He's had the big game. I'm putting him back in. I'm with you. These were my first two picks. My own, you know, it was between these two. I agree. You could go with Ogba, or you can even maybe pick a linebacker, but for the defensive player to do anything, you got to swing for the touchdown. So the interception's got a much better chance of it. Or I guess the fumble recovery, if last week is any indication. Yeah, I'm taking X. Waddle, Gaskin, Holland, Shaheen, X. Wow, that sounds terrible until you hear your team, Gesicki, Wilson, Preston Williams, Ahmed, and Holland. That's even worse.
Fair enough, but I am on the winning streak, so we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully that carries through. All right. Well, that's another exciting week in the books. Did you watch any of the cool new movies that have come out, Rob? Or are you still?
No, I watched some of the old movies.
So what'd you watch?
I finally saw. What is it, Shang-Chi?
Yeah, that was a good one. Did you like it?
Came out. Yeah, it was Disney Plus. I didn't have to leave the house. I, not a sponsor, but I watched it. I thought it was really good. And even the lady who watches all of the Marvel movies with me, you know, because, and you know, she likes them enough, but she was like, she really liked that one too, because it was a good movie on it in and of itself. And they're working in the humor, but not too much. And I don't know, it was good. I liked it.
Fight scenes were great. I thought the martial arts stuff was awesome. Yep. My only gripe, and it's small, was like the end of it was just like every other Marvel movie that I've seen. But you know, I guess it's kind of how it goes. Now here's a question:
the end of
did
the
you
world.
See the did you see the new Spider-Man trailer?
Of course, yes, I saw it. You know what? Here's
what'd you think?
Oh no, I mean, here's the thing I think is going to happen. I don't think all those villains, I mean, I don't think they'll all be villains. I think they're going to work with Doc Ock to try to help get them back. And some of the others, like, that's going to be the twist, is it's not going to be your straight up just fighting them all. Because that terrible Spider-Man 3 with emo Spider-Man, I mean, the problem was they put in too many villains, and now there's looking at the trailer, you got Electro, you got Sandman, you got Doc Ock, you've got...
Right, but this works because it's actually part of like a, it's different. Like, they're all connected to this mistake that happened at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah,
so,
I understand that.
I think that's a good way to actually do it, I think.
I don't think it's going to be him just fighting all of them. I think it's going to be, it's more of about him trying to save them, actually, than fighting them by getting them back to their universes.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what was implied in the trailer as well, with the little argument that he gets into with Doctor Strange. Yeah. But yeah, I'm curious to see. I did notice, I don't know if you picked up, there was obviously they showed the Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin, but then there appears to be a second Green Goblin. I don't know if did you notice that? Did you pick up on that?
I did not. I did not like pause, and I didn't go crazy on the whole thing, but
fine tooth comb it. No, I mean, you didn't really need to pause it. It was like they showed him a different Green Goblin or a different goblin on a glider. So I wonder if it's
Harry,
I don't know if they're gonna if it's if it was James Franco, which I doubt, or if they're gonna introduce Green Goblin from
the
other Spider-Man.
It's not it's not just the other two universes that we've seen. It's every universe. Like they could bring in a version of these that we haven't seen before.
Yeah,
I mean, they should.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's. I did. I do think it's funny how much they've tried to like keep under wraps that Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire are in these movies.
Yeah, but
and
then
I don't even understand why they're trying so hard to keep it from people like at this point.
Well, you can't show it because you can't show the reveal because I don't think they're going to be in it a lot is going to be the
thing. They were planning on, I think they were planning on doing it because they had this big like trailer release, like at like actual movie theaters and stuff. And then and then there's the one scene in the trailer
what movie did you
Spider-Man
see?
Jumps in to fight like the Lizard and Sandman and Electro all at the same time. And you can see like they showed the international trailer and they like, it's more of a wide shot and you can see Lizard get punched in the face, but like, there's no, like they clearly edited out whoever had punched him in the face. Like there's clearly another person there fighting with him. Like not just the one Spider-Man versus all of the villains.
So I forgot last week you told me you went to go see a movie just to watch this trailer. What movie was that?
Well, they didn't have the trailer. It was for Eternals. I figured it would. That's not the only reason I went, but I was excited, but they did not have the trailer in front of it. I made notice of it because they had to, I guess, make some changes to the trailer apparently.
How was Eternals? Did we talk?
I liked Eternals a lot. I thought we talked about it on last week's podcast. I thought it was great. It hasn't gotten really good reviews, but it's different. It's like the first Marvel movie that's not exactly like every in terms of like the formula,
right?
Like where, the formula, like where they, you know, there's a challenge, you know, and then they end up like the villain ends up coming, and it's like somebody that is very very similar to their skill set, and they have to like overcome it. Yeah, it wasn't like that at all. It was, you know, which is how Shang-Chi ended, you know, spoiler alert.
Right.
But this was more, it was just like it was a lot more, I thought a lot more, I'm trying to think of the word. I don't know exactly the word that I'm looking for, but it just felt more like a different type of movie or like a different type of storytelling. Like the heroes are more flawed. Like there's a lot of like self-doubt and questioning. Yeah, it was really good to me. I really enjoyed it.
Well, we're at the end here, but I got one Hulu. Have you watched Hit Monkey yet?
No, but I saw an ad for it, so I will check it out.
I started watching it. It's pretty fun. Basically, Sudeikis is doing his best Sterling Archer, and there's a monkey.
All right, it's Jets week. Let's get a win.
Let's go, Dolphins!